Landscape management falls into the agriculture category, and most of us are the director of landscape management at our own homes, like I am. I called on the expert today to help us get a better understanding of the fundamentals with pruning. We're talking with Amaya Atucha. She is an associate professor and extension specialist at UW-Madison. This topic came in by request. You can always send me an email or message the Wisco Ag social media channels to send in topics that interest you that we can cover on our podcast. Well, Amaya, can you start our conversation with why do people prune?
Pruning is fundamental for fruit production, which is my area of expertise. And the reason why is because we can't have fruit if we don't have good light interception. People just sometimes have a hard time connecting those two things. But light, having enough light on our trees is the most important factor to be able to produce flowers that afterwards will produce fruit. So if we don't prune trees properly to increase the light interception, what we ended up having, and it's very common to see in many, many, many fruit trees that people have in their backyard, is that the interior part of the tree is very shaded. And you see that all the fruit is on the outside of the tree. And so we prune to increase light interception so we can have consistent fruit production every year. We also prune to remove, diseased wood. We want to remove things that are probably like broken branches or maybe branches that might have a disease or might have an insect pest. We want to take it out. And then we also prune to open up those canopies, not only to the light, but also to the air. We want air circulation. So when we have like a really heavy, rain events and the canopy is very wet, the sooner it dries, there are less chances that a disease might develop because diseases, especially bacteria and fungi, really like water. So if there's a lot of free water sitting on those canopies, there's more chances that you will get a disease. So those are pretty much the three main reasons why we prune. There's also other reasons like aesthetics. People like to have the trees looking in a certain way. There's many different types of training systems that you can design. So that would be yet a fourth reason why we prune.
And before we jump into some of those fundamentals, I'm trying to visualize, if that main reason why you said it, that big one seemed like light. You're saying sunlight, so it gets in. So when someone's looking at their tree, they should be considering that when they're trimming those branches or, different pieces off, that is that light going in? And when we say light, we're talking sunlight.
Absolutely. That's one of the things that we want to look. When we look at a tree and say, okay, where can I prune? Where can I make a cut here that is really going to increase light? If I remove this limb, is it going to really open up the canopy? And those are the kind of things that people have to look into. And we'll talk a little bit more about the specifics. I know you have a specific question about what not to do, and I'll follow up on that.
Okay. Can you share the fundamentals of pruning fruit trees?
We have two times of the year where you can prune. And so traditionally, people always think about pruning in the winter. It's what we call the dormant pruning. But we can also prune in the summer. Okay, those are two different times during the year that we can prune. So let's talk a little bit about winter pruning. When we're doing winter pruning is when we really want to do maybe some of those bigger cuts. We really want to remove maybe some limbs that are, growing inside the canopy that are blocking some of that light. We can take out some of these big pieces. And when we do this kind of pruning in the winter, what usually happens is that in the area where you cut, when you make that cut, that area is a little bit invigorated. And then we ended up having, especially when we do thick cuts that we remove big branches, we ended up having a lot of regrowth in exactly that area where we made the cut. And so a lot of people are going to say like, oh yes, when I do, maybe some of the top work on my trees and I cut, then I see all of these regrowths, all of these suckers growing that afterwards I have to come back and prune all over again. So that's one of some of the responses that we get for the winter pruning. But the winter pruning is great because during that time, the tree's dormant. So anything that we remove, it's not really going to affect the tree. Well, when we do pruning in the summer, and this is a very, very important thing that I want, listeners to understand, when we do pruning in the summer, you are debilitating the tree because you're removing active growth and leaves that are producing photosynthesis and feeding the tree. So if you're taking them away, you're sort of, debilitating them. That's why things that we want to prune during the summer are things that we actually don't want them to regrow. like, for example, suckers, or when we have water sprouts that are coming from the base of our tree, that's the perfect timing to remove them, because by removing them at that time, they will not regrow. You're debilitating the tree.
And then will more growth go into growing the fruit versus those branches?
Basically, the trees, when we say, oh, the trees make their own food. Yeah, the trees, through photosynthesis, are able to produce their own, you know, fuel, food, what are carbohydrates. So the trees always kind of like deciding where that food is going to go, where they're going to allocate that food. Is it going to go into growing fruit? Is it going to go into vegetative growth, which are leaves and branches and the roots? And so, you know, depending on the management that you do, you want to strike a perfect balance in which you have enough growth, vegetative growth, enough leaves and shoot, but you also have enough fruit. And it's very easy on fruit trees to tip that balance to being too vegetative, meaning not enough fruit, a lot of shoots and leaves. Or if you do good management, you can also tip it the other way, in which you have a lot of fruit production, but not necessarily a lot of vegetative production, which sounds great, but it's not sustainable over time. So that's where, when people are thinking about pruning, that's what we want to do. We want to figure out, how can I achieve a perfect balance for this tree in which I have enough fruit production, but I also have enough vegetative growth to sustain good quality and big fruit? That is what I want at the end of the season.
Let's focus a little smaller scale, not a tree, but a bush. Can you share the fundamentals of pruning fruit bushes?
Exactly the same. Absolutely the same. There's nothing different. I mean, the concept is the same. We want to prune to open canopies, making sure that we have enough light to have enough flowers. We want to remove all the branches that are either damaged, mechanically damaged, or are diseased. You want to remove them. So it's the same concept.
Okay. And I'm going to share a little personal story, because I feel like it was a learning opportunity for me. One year we totally hacked our raspberry bushes, like went all the way down to the ground, and I got one fruiting from it. The next year we didn't hack like we did the first year.
Well, that is a very specific case, because of raspberries. We have two types of raspberries, and this is where things get a little bit more technical. We have two types of raspberries. We have raspberries that we call summer bearing raspberries, and we have raspberries that we call them fall bearing raspberries. So raspberries that you can have start harvesting really early on, let's say, you know, in July. And then we have the more traditional ones that we usually harvest at the end of the season. We start at the end of August, September, we get in all those. And so what happens is that, let's say, in 2023, in the summer of 2023, what you're going to get with the raspberries is a lot of new shoots that are going to come from the base, okay, from the crown of those plants. And those shoots are all going to be vegetative. They're only going to have leaves, okay? But those shoots that are growing in the summer of 2023, they're going to go through a process that is called flower induction. So those shoots are growing, they are producing buds that are going to form into flowers for the spring of 2024. So if you prune them all, you're pruning all of your flowers for the following season. And so that's the reason that if you are growing summer raspberries, so summer bearing raspberries, you need to leave all of the shoots that were produced the year before. So if you want to have flowers in the spring of 2024, those are the shoots that were produced in 2023. You can't prune them. Now, fall bearing is a little bit different. The fall bearing raspberries, you can prune all of the material. You're going to have new canes coming up in 2024. Those canes during July, they're going to start producing flowers, and then you're going to have a harvest at the end. So fall bearing raspberries, it's okay to prune them all down in the winter. Summer bearing, you can't prune them down, because that's where all your flowers are going to be for the fruit that you're going to be harvesting in early July and August.
Right. Be mindful of what you're buying and how to handle
it.
Exactly. For it.
But again, the concept of what I was saying, like if you think about like bushes like blueberries, so we think about gooseberries, or if you're growing currants, for example, that concept of, you know, renewal and opening canopy and taking out everything that's diseased and it's not going to produce anymore. You know, sometimes branches get old and you want to renew them. It's the same concept as with, you know, if you're growing an apple tree or a peach tree in your backyard.
From your experience, what have been some of the best tools for pruning?
Well, I mean, a pair of good pruners is fundamental. I always carry with me a pair of good loppers. that they're sharp. I mean, those are the two main things that you need. If you're going to be pruning, sometimes if you have like an old tree that really needs some substantial renewal, in which you have to, you know, cut some big branches, either you have an electrical saw or like or you have just a regular one, those should be fine enough.
And is there any special care after pruning that a landowner should do?
I don't recommend people using, you know, some sort of like after pruning covering wounds like that. The important thing is that you're pruning at the right time. So you don't want to prune the day that it's raining. You don't want to prune and make a wound when you know that the next week you're going to get, you know, 3 inches of rain. What that's going to happen is that you have a fresh cut and you have a lot of water sitting on that cut. And so what I said before, fungi and especially bacteria, they love water. They proliferate when there's free water. So if you have an open wound because you made a pruning cut and then it's all wet, yes, there's more possibilities that you're going to get disease. But if you are, you know, pruning and in the next 2 to 3 days, you're going to have nice weather, it's not going to be wet, then that if the trees are healthy, they should just, you know, be able to recover from that cut and there shouldn't be any problem.
And what about in terms of like the weather that we're seeing now this winter? I mean, we've had some 50, 60 degree days, which I feel like is unheard of.
Yeah.
Should we have been pruning more in December and January and try to avoid these February, March timeframe?
It's always tricky to decide when to start pruning. Here are the possibilities. We had a nice fall that actually people could have started pruning in the fall. However, the problem is like we don't know what kind of winter we're going to have. We did have a very cold end of January. We had a couple of days, at least a week, in which the temperatures really went down consistently. And that, if you have a pruning cut, that could, when we have those really, really, really cold temperatures, what could happen is that you can see some dieback right, you know, at the area where you made that pruning cut, especially if you're removing a big limb. Why that happens? Because it's so cold and so dry that there's dehydration. And so that tissue right under that cut could have some damage. If we have a nice winter, now if we don't have extremely, extremely cold temperatures, that will be totally fine. But the problem is that in the fall, you don't know what kind of winter you're going to have. Now, the traditional time for pruning is, we always say, try to prune, you know, in the spring. Why? Because we know that we won't have those really cold temperatures during that time. So for me, I would say continue pruning. If you're just, you know, if you're a commercial fruit grower and you have, you know, 500 acres that you have to prune, you need to start early on. You need to do it. But if you're a homeowner and you just have a couple of trees, it's okay to wait. You can wait to prune even until when you already start seeing those buds swell. That is totally fine. In fact, some of the recommendations we have for our commercial apple growers is sometimes we tell them just wait until you actually see the bloom, because of a specific management that we're doing for a commercial production. But if you're a homeowner and you have an apple tree, it's totally fine to prune when you already see some of those flower clusters coming out. That is no problem at all. The same is true if you're pruning peaches. The same is true if you have, you know, grapevines. You can prune all the way until you see that the buds are swelling. The only consideration to have is that if you have buds are swelling and you're pruning and you're rubbing off all of those, you know, limbs that you're taking, you might be rubbing off some of those buds and damage them. So that's the reason why you might want to do it a little bit early. But even with this spring, with this very crazy weather that we're experiencing, it's totally fine to prune right now. There shouldn't be any problems. The trees are going to be fine.
So two more questions about pruning. So what is that absolutely do not do when it comes to pruning?
When it comes to pruning, one thing that people tend to do a lot is like, oh, if I make a little cut here and a little cut there and a little cut there, it's going to be fine because I'm not making, you know, like major cuts on my tree or my bushes. That is the worst practice ever. Removing the final, maybe, you know, third of a branch, and just removing that is not going to achieve any of the things that we just talked about. Open the canopies, increasing light interception. And if anything, you're probably removing a lot of your flower buds that are going to be located in that area. So when you're pruning trees, the main thing I would say is it's better to make one good cut in which you're removing maybe a big limb that is blocking the light inside, than doing many, 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 many of those tiny little cuts on the outside of the tree. Those are really not helpful at all because, as I said, you do all of those small cuts on the outside. What are you going to get? You're going to get a lot of regrowth. You're going to get a lot of those shoots coming out and blocking the light even more. My recommendation is always look at the tree and say, okay, here is a limb that is blocking the light towards the inside. If I remove this, this is really going to change my tree, and then go for that one. And you don't have to do a lot of pruning. Sometimes you just have to remove maybe one limb, maybe one or two. You don't also want to be able, you don't want to be going and cutting the entire structure of the tree in one pruning season. And that's the other thing that I want to say. Pruning is done every year. It's not that you go and you completely prune the tree and then forget about it. It's a process that takes many, many years, especially if you have old trees. You're not going to renew the entire structure of the tree with one pruning session. It might take you 3, 4, or even 5 years to get that tree to look the way that you want them to look.
Well, all my listeners are like, you just saved me so much time. That person that's very tedious and taking every little branch. Now, last question on pruning. Where do you find resources that are very helpful for a landowner that wants to be pruning their fruit trees and bushes?
There's a lot of resources, especially on YouTube. So what I would recommend is go on some of these, you know, web browsers or go into YouTube and really find videos that are from reliable sources. So many videos coming out of different extension, either it was extension through UW-Madison or extension through other universities. Those are great videos of professionals that will give you a very good tip. Pruning is so visual that it's hard to read about it. So that's why I recommend just go and find some videos and just look and browse into maybe YouTube channels from different extension from other universities or even UW-Madison. We do have some, the UW-Madison Learning Store has some material on pruning for homeowners.
We've been talking with Amaya Atucha. She's an associate professor and extension specialist at UW-Madison. If you are a commercial grower growing fruit trees or cranberries, she is a great resource for you to bounce questions off of and get more insight. If you are a homeowner, we recommend that you use the link within the description to get more information of your local county extension that can support you with managing your fruit trees and bushes on your property. And that's your connection to local agriculture. Thanks for listening. I'm Joanna Guza.